some Christian songs over the years that point to this. There's one called "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Jesse Owens Collins wrote it, and others have sung it. It's been an old Christian song. "Onward, Christian soldiers, going into war, but we're not going alone. We have the word of Jesus." And in Ephesians 6, as was read this morning, "Put on the full armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the holy word of God." Well, today's holy gospel from Mark is all about purity. It's the exact opposite of evil. But the first answer that Jesus gave to these questioning Pharisees was about people obeying human traditions rather than what was spelled out in God's holy word. And Jesus gave them a pretty complicated example, boiling down to tradition versus the law. It's funny. When I write my sermon, I then give it to Marilyn to proof. And I saw, when I brought my PC up this morning and I looked at the text, and there was a word that jumped right out at me, which was a typo, of course, and I'm good at that. And I said to Marilyn, "Did you see it?" She said, "You mean boing?" It was supposed to be boiling. But that's not, you know, I mean, when you think about it, there is a boiling there. Because we need to know what the truth is. And the debate between Jesus and the Pharisees was over two different understandings of what it meant to be a good Jew. The charge that Jesus makes against the Pharisees and the experts of the law is that teaching things as essential law when they're really only Jewish custom or tradition rather than God's law is so very, very wrong. These Jewish leaders are claiming to be teachers of God's truth and law, but in fact, they're really only teaching about tradition. You know where that came from. This comes up because the question about the tradition of purity is that, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? Could you imagine today a question of somebody standing at the door and saying to each one of us, "Why aren't you using hand sanitizer? That's not in God's word. That has become a tradition." And so we honor that tradition. Every pew has two bottles of hand sanitizer. But we're not following God's word except for caring for our neighbors. Okay? And then we have plenty of masks in the back. If you feel you need to wear a mask, that's also there for you as well. Just to understand that tradition is a far cry from the word of God. Jesus uses a very clever way to make his point in response to that question about why don't they wash their hands? Like a cunning accountant finding a loophole in the law which enables someone to avoid paying some taxes, these legal experts have found a way for people to get out of any financial obligation whatsoever to their parents. By declaring their property to belong to God, they can be free of any or all further obligation to their parents. That was that word you read this morning, Corban. Okay, in other words, loophole. Absolutely pure hypocrisy. It was God who commanded the people through Moses to honor your father and mother in Exodus 20. And here leaders were officially making it a gift devoted to God. In other words, a write-off. And so they were actually making a mockery of the God that they are claiming to honor. Now the bigger issue here for Jesus and the Pharisees was, who speaks for God today? Is it God's word, the Holy Bible? Or is it the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Now, if we've seen the same problem in some churches today in which the leaders seem to think they know better than God's word, and so they change according to custom And, well, let's do it this way. Let's allow this, even though God's word says no. The Pharisees had built up over 200 years an agenda which was both political and religious. For them, the two went hand in hand. The traditions they had developed that Scripture was being interpreted and applied in a particular direction, which was supported by their very own special programs. This way, they looked at biblical purity and their laws, and they said, they're similar. But that was their views. The hardline Pharisees were urging people to accept their ways. In other words, it was their way or the highway. We've heard that before. Jesus, in his valuing Scripture against tradition, was challenging the very basis on which the Pharisees had built up their organizational empire and their power over the people. There's an old rock song called Under My Thumb. That was by the Rolling Stones. I'm thinking of Charlie Watts, who is their drummer and has passed away this week. But people in, shall we say, leadership, in some ways, love to have people under their thumb, making them not even think for themselves. And that's not how we do business. That's not how Christians do business. Jesus, in his valuing Scripture against tradition, was challenging the very basis in which the Pharisees had built up their empire. Now, if God's kingdom was going to be coming through the work and the person of Jesus Christ, by healing, by eating with tax collectors and sinners, tackling demons head on, then that way the layers after layers of Pharisaic tradition that they had been pointing to was dead in its tracks right from the start. It just couldn't compare to God's holy word. Jesus' argument for what he was doing was that he was the fulfillment, and this work was the fulfillment of God's Scripture. See, if you follow him, you follow Scripture. If you're following somebody else, you may not be following Scripture. If you go the Pharisees' way, then Scripture, which was supposedly the basis of their tradition, but was actually often undermined by it, you would lose out. Often when people get angry and start asking questions about why somebody's doing something, it's because there's a larger agenda at stake. Quite often has political dimensions, but don't appear on the surface. Part of being a Christian is to learn spiritual discernment and the context of Scripture. That means, plain and simple, you've got to be in it to win it. I know that's usually a commercial for a lottery or something, but there's no bigger thing to win than God's holy word. If you open it and pray for the Holy Spirit to explain it to you, explain it to me, Lucy, then you have an understanding of what God's intention is, the context of what it is. We need to ask God and learn to understand his holy word and test human traditions against it and see just what it is God has to say. Have you ever told a joke and got absolutely no response? I have. If you have to explain it, then that takes all the fun out of it. The joke you told went over as what they call a lead balloon. Well, a parable is not a joke. And the parable that Jesus told about parents was no laughing matter. It was the only way that Jesus could say some of the most devastating things that he wanted to say. If you're trying to tell the world that it's going the wrong way, that its heroes fought for the wrong cause and its martyrs died in the wrong ditch, you better be careful how you do it. It's got to be cryptic. The Pharisees needed to be answered. And so the gospel says, Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him clean." Jesus really expected his disciples to get the point, but apparently it flew right over their heads. Talk about what goes into you and what comes out of you. That would seem to lead the people down a road of lavatory humor, potty talk. What could Jesus have meant? Well, when they get back to the house, Jesus explains it to them, just as he did in Mark 4 when he explained the parable of the sower. Jesus wasn't talking about physical things that come out of people, but instead he was talking about what comes out of a person's heart. You see, this is a huge filter. What goes out of what comes into here and what comes out of here should be filtered by the heart to process it so that it may come out again and not injure or hurt people, but instead be truth. So what comes into your head has to go through your heart. What your heart feels and what your heart knows is really what leads you. And Jesus suggests that the purity laws point to the real need of humans for a deeper purity, a purity of purpose. Eating meat, which they called treif, and I'll give you some examples, does not satisfy Jewish law. Animals like crocodile, kangaroo, pig, porcupine, shrimp, or lobster. I know that just upset some of you, especially those of you that love barbecue and seafood. Well, guess what? It's okay, because what Jesus said made it okay. And if you're focused on looking at those regulations about food and never get to the real point, you're missing the whole heart of the matter. By focusing on outward purity, they are avoiding the much deeper challenge of the gospel, which is the challenge of the human heart. What matters are the internal, spiritual things. If your heart is heavy, if your heart is darkened, nothing can come out that is of light. You need to take it to God. And how do we do that? We talk to him. We pray to him. We go through his holy word and ask him to cleanse us. Jesus is insisting that good and bad external and physical actions come from the internal and spiritual sources, and that the poison wells of human motivation are the real problem to which the purity laws are pointing. We can't just isolate one part of the human makeup and blame it for everything and blame it for evil. We also can't suggest that getting in touch with our deepest feelings will give you clear answers. I'm sorry, meditation won't do it, but prayer will. Let me say plainly, if there's evil, it infects the whole. And it just doesn't go for one part, but it spreads. That's why yeast was used in the Old Testament as a symbol for sin, because what happens when you put yeast into a dough? It spreads, it expands, and it becomes a part of that. And it's much, much bigger than it started out. And that's the same thing as evil and sin. That's what purity and impurity are really all about. Later in Mark chapter 10, verse 5, Jesus talks about the hardened hearts that result in wicked thoughts and deeds. And the only solution for that is the kingdom of God. The old Jewish laws about clean and unclean foods, laws which divided Jew from Gentile, were irrelevant in God's eyes. As a matter of fact, Paul's letters show us how this issue remained an explosive one within the early church. And Jesus' point is that purity laws, including food laws, don't actually touch the human problem. What happened in and through Jesus brought the old scriptures, the whole old covenant in with Israel, to a new completion, a new fulfillment. Jesus said, I didn't come to change the law, I came to fulfill it. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The Apostle Peter, in Acts chapter 10, had a vision that contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles on the earth and birds of the air. And this was after Jesus had ascended to the Father, reminding him of Jesus' words that he spoke in today's gospel in Mark chapter 7. He said, God told Peter, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Peter heard those words from heaven with God speaking. The scriptures spoke of purity and set up codes as signs to it. And Jesus was offering the reality. God put signs for us throughout all of scripture, all pointing in one direction and to one person. And that person is Jesus Christ, the purity and perfection through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.